Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. What's happening? Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN, hanging out Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators back in action after what feels like forever. They had the week off. I call it spring break or winter break or whatever. Also the All-Star break. But they will be back in action tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But we're discussing some Titans in the offseason, what it's going to look like for them. 615-737-1025. If you want to call or text and weigh in on this conversation, you are always welcome to do so. So, Teron, something that we haven't really discussed a whole lot, whether it's on this show or Chasing TD, we've looked at the draft and potential prospects. We've looked internally of the free agents that John Robinson will look to re-sign. But how about outside the Titans organization, some names that maybe they could bring in from, you know, the free agent pool once it opens up on March 18th. I think this is a fun year for the NFL because I like the draft, and there are some pretty good free agents that are going to be available. Obviously, quarterbacks, more quarterbacks than we've seen in a long time will be available. Some, you know, probably aren't an option. Drew Brees, Tom Brady remains to be seen, but and Ryan Tannehill. We'll see if the Titans get that worked out before free agency even opens. But looking at the needs of this team right now, are there some names that stand out to you?
Yeah, there's a few names. I mean, obviously, Derrick Henry and Tannehill, those are guys that I think they have to be back. Jack Conklin is approaching that. But just to look at some names, Matt Judon, I think is someone that could come in here and be a guy that it can move all over the place. You saw the breakdown I did where they used him as a middle linebacker. He's a guy that could rush from both sides too. So he's someone coming from Baltimore that would be a good option. Obviously, some continuity for the most part,
yeah,
as far as the scheme itself is concerned. Sure. Another one, I mentioned Marcus Golden, and he's a guy that not only is a very good pass rusher, he's a solid run defender as well. He aggressively sets that edge. He's a very strong guy to have up front to set the edge. So he's somebody else. Interesting name, Yannick Ngakoue. I think when you look at just bringing in a young piece, right, a young guy that could just give that pass rush a jolt, I think he would be a really good option. Watching how the Jaguars use him and Calais Campbell and tandems on games and things like that, I think would be pretty cool to watch them do that with Jarrell Casey and Ngakoue, or Jeffrey Simmons and Ngakoue, you know, the inside-outside reversing roles type of thing. I think he would be a good option. A name that no one is mentioning that I think, you know, if the whole Logan Ryan thing doesn't work out, Mackenzie Alexander from the Vikings.
Yeah.
I remember him coming out. I liked him more than Vernon Hargreaves. You talk about a guy that has a dog in him. He has it. He has that dog in him. He's a guy that can be used in a similar way to Logan Ryan as far as a guy who you blitz out of nickel, a guy who you just put in there to cover those nickel, you know, the slot receivers. So those are like four names that come off to me.
A trend I've seen with this team and then others around the league that I like is they tend to find that guy that he's at the end. There's not a ton left in the tank, but there's enough that if you use him right, he can be effective for you. Cam Wake was that signing last year, and I know he's still got years left on the contract, but I would think they probably look at walking away. Just given, you know, injury and coming off of that, and I could just see them, you know, walking away from him. Is there a veteran player on offense or defense that you could see fitting that mold that you're not asking them to play every down, but that can come in, be good for your locker room, and also be effective when you need him to be.
I mean, really, Logan Ryan is that guy. Honestly, outside of that, I mean, there aren't any veteran players.
Like Gerald McCoy, I think time has passed. Sue.
Why would you sign?
Yeah, I don't think you need those guys.
That would be signing someone. You don't need that, you know. I can't really think of anybody just off the top of my head that is a veteran that you know, you would bring in just for that purpose. Maybe Everson Griffin. You know, I've heard some people mention Dante Fowler as a guy to look at, but I think he's going to be pricey.
Yeah.
So I think really it's more about making sure that you get guys that could come in and impact. I don't see any of the guys on this list here.
Do you believe that they will be in the market, whether it's the draft or free agency, for a tight end to be a backup to Jonnu Smith? Because I'm of the belief that Delanie Walker won't be here.
Even if Walker is not here, I don't think they need to be in the market for that. Because I firmly feel that Anthony Firkser is a very good pass-catching tight end. He could develop into a blocker. I don't think that's a problem. And you can still run 13 personnel with Michael Pruitt, who's going to be a free agent, but he'll be a low-cost free agent. He knows fit, right? He knows here's his best fit. But I tell you, if they do go the draft route, I mean, you got a guy right here in Jarrett Pinkney, right?
Yep.
You got a guy whose dad played right here in Bryson Hopkins, you know, his dad, Bernard Hopkins.
Brad.
I always say that. Brad Hopkins.
Affectionately known as B-Hop.
You could also – there are a couple guys, if you go to the Senior Bowl roster, Adam Trautman from Dayton.
Yeah.
Outstanding pass-catching tight end. And then you got Harrison Bryant from Florida Atlantic. That might be a little rich for where the Titans, you know, will want to address the tight end position, because I think those guys are second or third round possibly.
Yeah.
So – there are options, but I think if they address it through the draft, you know, Hopkins, Pinkney, I think those are guys that they could consider.
Here's another position we have not mentioned one time, and I think you'll be on board with this when I bring it up. But what turned out to be so important to this Titans team this year was the backup quarterback, because they traded for Ryan Tannehill, and Tannehill ended up becoming – the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. But then you still had a solid backup in Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
In case – because you had two guys that have had injuries in their career, and you never knew if you were going to get 16 games out of them. I think that's still important. If you go with Tannehill and you're saying, you know what, he is our guy, you need to find who can be a solid backup to Ryan Tannehill. And I don't know if that's free agency or the draft, but I definitely think it's on the to-do list for John Robinson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt. That's something that you want to make sure that you address, because what if you sign Tannehill and you end up, you know, God forbid, an injury or something like that comes along. You need somebody. I know they like Logan Woodside, you know, so he's someone I think will be in the mix. But you could also go the draft route. Like I said, I know Jordan Love.
And that may be what they do because they're thinking future.
But like I said, I know and you can't tell me that Jordan Love can't come in and be a backup.
Sure.
Right? Jalen Hurts also, he could come in and be a backup. So you could get a backup in the draft. I don't know that this roster is built to where they could afford to spend money on a free agent quarterback.
There are some you could get, though.
Such as
Daniel, Case Keenum.
Do you know how much money Chase Daniel has consistently – look, check the internet,
He made $5
million. Yeah, he has consistently made at least $5 million. Like, I'm not just saying that
from
out there. Case Keenum, over the last two contracts, has made money.
Yeah.
Like, you could mention those guys, but it's – no.
I'm looking at this list. Like, Colt McCoy made $3.25 million.
See what I'm saying? So I don't know that this roster is really built to be able, because of the needs that they have. I don't know that they're built to be able to pay a backup quarterback like that.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport here with us. So something that we did on Chase and TD, I know you were traveling. Calvin and I did this. You know, we always end the show with players to watch on offense and defense. Mm-hmm. So I threw out there, give me the player to watch on offense and defense that we know are going to be back for the Tennessee Titans that need to take significant steps during the offseason to get ready for next year. Is there anyone that pops out to you that you would like to see take a next step? And I'll tell you who I said on offense was Nate Davis. I want to see him take bigger steps at that guard position because the offensive line, as we know, have had an up and down year, but towards the end they were up. And yeah, I think that's because they're playing as a cohesive unit.
Yeah, and it was because he came. I mean, you asked Roger Saffold, you know, Conklin, even LaJuan, Ben Jones, too. They all said Nate Davis coming along and developing was really a big-time thing for them. You got to remember, the guy didn't have training camp.
Yeah.
Right? And he was thrust in there as the starter. You know, first game was he had Grady Jarrett. I mean, that's not an easy ask. Someone that I feel needs to come along, I think A.J. Brown needs to come along just because of the fact that he's going to be relied upon to lead that receiving unit now. So I talked to him. He's going to work out with somebody, whether it's DK Metcalf and maybe Julio Jones. He's going to be working out with you know, some guys. He and DK are both from Mississippi, so I think that's almost a shoo-in. So I would say A.J. just for the fact that it's time. He's going to be expected, in my opinion, to be a top 10 receiver next year.
If he does work out with Julio, I would love that. Not because it's Julio Jones. And I think the next big step for A.J. Brown is when he goes up against the top DBs in the league.
Yeah.
Being able to shake off the fact that, oh, well, he's really good until he goes up against, you know, a top five corner, which we saw at times this year that when he went up against those guys, he wasn't – you didn't hear from him as much.
And that wasn't all his fault.
Right.
Because his quarterback will admit that he missed him multiple times.
Sure. You know? Right. And I completely agree with that. But you still gotta shake stigmas. That's part of the league.
Mean, how can you shake the stigma if you're not getting the ball?
Right.
Like if your quarterback is saying, I see him winning on the backside, but I just have to get him the ball.
Yeah.
It's not on AJ.
Tannehill's got to get him the ball.
Yeah.
But I definitely think you can always get better. And he said it. Like, I laughed when he said, well, I missed my goal this year. And we're like, well, what was the goal? He's at 1,500 yards.
And 15 touchdowns.
I'm like, bro.
Hey, I mean, it goes back to what were we saying about Kobe.
Yeah.
You always aspire to achieve a next level of greatness. Yeah.
Never accept just good enough.
And that's why when you mention guys that have the dog, I mentioned A.J. Brown because that's an example of it. But, I mean, look, bottom line, he's going to be expected to carry that passing game.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to get better and put the work in because now he's not coming in and surprising anybody. He's going to be the guy that teams are targeting as far as stopping the Titans passing game. It's going to start with stopping A.J. Brown. So he would be the guy for me.
Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport hanging out at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have much more coming. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Teron's going to stick around. We'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick, Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick will rejoin shortly as they are wrapping up morning skate. Predators and Maple Leafs do battle here tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We're, of course, live at Pete and Terry's Tavern, as usual, on a game day. But Teron and I talking about the Tennessee Titans. The Pro Bowl was yesterday, and you know, I watched a little bit of it, obviously overshadowed by the tragic news of the passing of Kobe Bryant and the others on the helicopter. But I did tune in for a little bit, and I thought it was interesting that the story comes out that Russell Wilson was scheduled to be the starter for the NFC. He gives up that spot to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Drew Brees says he's going to take a month or so to make a decision on his future. He is a free agent, but I think everyone believes that if he plays next year, it'll be for the Saints. He's not going to go sign anywhere else. But, you know, I was of the belief that, he's coming back. He's not going out the way, you know, the last two seasons have ended. But I see that yesterday. I hear him say, I'm going to take some time and think about it. It kind of makes me wonder if all right, maybe this is it. He's got a Super Bowl ring. It's not like he hasn't won it. I know he wants the second, and they have a team good enough to get the second, but I kind of get the vibe now. Maybe he's leaning towards hanging it up.
I agree with you. And it's funny because 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we were talking about the QB carousel, I thought that Teddy Bridgewater would absolutely be a free agent because sure. he wasn't going to re-sign knowing Breeze was going to be there. But I think it's a different story now. Like you said, the whole thing with Russell Wilson taking a step back so Breeze could start and taking that extra month that he said he's going to, I think that's really going to – I think he's done. You know, I think he's done. I think he's leaning towards being done. Let's put it that way.
I mean, what else?
All of the records he has. And granted, I know you miss the locker room, right? You miss the camaraderie, the jokes, you know, the clowning each other and all that stuff. You miss it, man. You really do miss it. But I think at this point where he is, I think he's leaning towards retirement. Now, that's just a shot in the dark. I don't know that man from the banner behind you. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But it's just something to being a father and also just, you know, a family guy. It seems like he really embraces that. You know, talking to Kenny Vaccaro about how Breeze would bring his sons to the facility and have them in the pool with him and that type of stuff. It's very clear that family is important to him. So I wonder when he gets to that point where it's like, okay, I've sacrificed enough.
Sure.
You, my family, have sacrificed enough. It's not – the balance is leaning towards me being a father and a family guy.
And, look, if he does decide to hang it up, and I've read reports that this has already happened, that a TV network had reached out to gauge his interest – if he wants to go down that road, I think he'd be good at it.
Yeah.
I think your employer – you know, could definitely look at him for Monday Night Football, and you instantly have that star power. You have a guy that's, you know, we've seen this trend as of late. They get these guys that are just retired, like they play the year before, and I think that's important because the game is still very fresh to them. Yep. The rules are still very fresh, and Tony Romo has changed the game for broadcasting because of how he goes about it. And you know, you're a big X's and O's guy. That's something that you do quite well in explaining how a play works and, you know, different coverages, and people like that. And so Tony Romo has been one of those guys. I think Drew Brees can do it, and he has the personality that if he wants to do that, if he wants to do the TV stuff, then he's able to do it. But, you know, look, if he decides that I got one more run, I think whatever that's it is, whatever the decision is, next year would be it. If he decides he's coming back, I could almost see him saying, you know, this is the retirement tour. This is the swan song. and you know, this is – we're going to take one more run at it and then hang it up. But you look at the success that he's had with Sean Payton, and I know they don't have all the rings that Belichick and Brady do, but you just break it down – it's been a pretty good combination.
Yeah, and that's really the key to success, man. That's why I asked Tannehill about the relationship between he and Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm not comparing that to Peyton and Breeze. Don't get me wrong. But what I am saying is if you are able to establish that kind of synergy to where you finish each other's sentences and you know what each other's thinking, then that just leads to success on offense. And there's no doubt about it that Breeze and Peyton, that's what they have.
Yeah. So. I'll say this, though, that with, you know, we've had the Brady conversation and don't know what he's going to do in New England, and now Breeze, the more time that goes by and the more jobs that open, I think the more pressure gets on the Tennessee Titans to get a deal with Ryan Tannehill done, because if New Orleans is all of a sudden available – even though Teddy Bridgewater is an option, he's still a free agent. You have to get that deal done. But if New England's available, I mean, Ryan Tannehill's going to get some phone calls. And if he hits free agency, that's going to push the price up.
Yeah, and that's why I think the tag is so important.
Yeah.
Tag him, get exclusive negotiating, and figure a deal out from there. But tag him with the understanding that you're going to hammer out a deal. So that way you're not – establishing any ill will or bad blood with that tag. You know what I mean?
Super Bowl coming up this Sunday between the Chiefs and the 49ers. I have officially picked the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will win by a touchdown. I like the 49ers. I they've had a tremendous year. But Kansas City, that offense, Patrick Mahomes, I saw it firsthand with my own two eyes at the AFC Championship game. Because when they played here against the Titans, he wasn't 100%. They weren't clicking on all cylinders because he had missed some time. They definitely are now. I just – and that defense that San Francisco has is pretty good. I don't know if it's good enough.
Well, that's the thing. When they played here, he wasn't able to do what he did effectively in Kansas City, and that was escape the pocket and buy time. You can't defend anybody 5-6 seconds, and that's what happened. So the thing with me and watching this game, right, and just seeing how this one could go, I think the one advantage – well, there's two advantages the 49ers have. Yeah. A, it's that rushing attack, and it's not just a single person. It's – they have a stable of guys, right? And there's their offensive line is pretty good, too. I want to see how that works. But the most important thing to me is what they have in the front four, right? You have three first-round draft picks. You have a priority free agent. Like, there's a lot invested in that front four, right? Joey Bosa, Armstead, Buckner, and who else do they have? Solomon Thomas rotates in, but he doesn't play a lot. I forget who their fourth guy is. Shame on me. But – their front four, they're able to get pressure with that front four to the point where you don't have to blitz anyone. You could just drop seven into coverage, and you're dropping seven good ones into coverage. Jimmy Ward, one of the best cover safeties, right? Kwaski Tart, a solid thumper, right? You're looking at Akello Weatherspoon, pretty solid cover guy. And then you got Richard Sherman still doing his thing. So I think this team is set up to where they could get to Mahomes with their front four, so that should help coverage. But at the same time, you know, you combine one of the strongest arms in the league with one of the fastest guys in the league, that's bad things for any defense.
Can I say this, and I don't know your opinions on Richard Sherman, but I love watching him play. I mean, he's had a Hall of Fame-worthy career.
I love everything about Richard Sherman.
And I think that's something that the Titans need. They need a disturber, and that's what he is. I mean, he doesn't care what you think. He's going to go play the game. He's a, you know, through the whistle guy. That's the echo of the whistle, however you want to put it. That's what he is. I can remember playing here. I think it was two or three years ago. The Seahawks played the Titans, and you know he had a questionable hit out of bounds on Marcus Mariota that the Titans took exception to. I don't like hitting the quarterback out of bounds, but that's his game. He plays through the whistle, and you know he's going to piss you off. But that's exactly what he's trying to do. And I think so many teams hate that guy, but they want that guy.
Exactly. They hate him but want him. And, you know, he's someone that is also a good influence on the guys on the team, right? And he does a lot more good things than he gets credit for. You know, he's someone that – he takes kids out of Compton.
Sure.
Compton, California. You know, he takes them out of Compton to Stanford and exposes them to Stanford University.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, he is a questionable guy, but as far as, like, some of the things he does on the field, you know what I mean, if he's not playing on your team. But you have him as a teammate, and then talking to some of the guys, they love him, you know. The guy I didn't mention on the 49ers defensive line is D Ford.
Yeah.
It's a shame I didn't mention him because this is a dude. You heard what Frank Clark said, right? After the game, he said no jumping offside.
Yeah.
Cheap shot at D Ford. It's going to be interesting watching that, you know, watching him go against his old team, the Chiefs, and see how that works.
Yeah. Look, it's going to be a fun game. You know, at least I hope it is because I really like the matchup. And, you know, so many times, obviously, here people pulling for the Titans and wanted to see the Titans get there, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not disagreeing with that, but there are times where when I look at a championship game, when the two best teams that are supposed to get there, I like that matchup because then you know it's like okay, let's mano a mano, let's see who can match up the best.
If the Titans got there, they were the best team,
right?
Period. Because you look at the path they would have taken to get there. So I don't think if they did get there and played the 49ers, I think it would be just the same as far as best team against best team because the Titans slayed all the top teams on the way to getting there.
Well, and I just think looking back on it and watching the game, the better team that day won in Kansas City, that offense. And it's all about, you know, you could be the best team in October and then you're not November and then you could be again in December. That's how the game – It's how the game works. The Titans probably were the best team in December, if you really break it down with the run that they had. But you go up against a buzzsaw like Kansas City, and now Kansas City will be competing for the Lombardi Trophy when they do battle in Miami this Sunday. Can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, so, it's going to be fun to watch, without a doubt.
Do you have a pick?
I think Chiefs 34-21.
Okay.
I
say 34-27, yeah, so we're right on the same.
Like you said, that offense, I think, is too much. And
Patrick Mahomes setting himself up to get paid.
Hey, $40 million a year.
Yeah, definitely going to happen. He's Teron Davenport, Chase McCabe, hanging out Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena, Predators, and Maple Leafs tonight. We'll have more coming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Onik and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN. Darren and Willie will rejoin here in just a little bit as the Predators take on the Maple Leafs tonight at Bridgestone Arena. 6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. All of the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Teron, another thing that Calvin and I discussed on Chase and TD Friday night while you were traveling is the evaluation of Mike Vrabel after his second season as the head coach. And so many times we had the conversation, whether it was you coming in here on this show or, of course, on Chase and TD on Friday nights, you brought it up on Talking with TD, of just that you're always evaluating. It's not just a end of the year. You're looking game to game, week to week. So how would you assess him after 2 years with all the ups and downs and what you've seen?
I would assess him as far as like a letter grade.
You don't necessarily have to just do a letter grade, just how you view him as a head coach right now.
Well, I view him as an ascending head coach. And I think some of the things that he was able to do down the stretch was outstanding. First and foremost, weathering that storm of being able to change that quarterback and have that locker room still maintained the way it was. That was awesome. But I think even before that, it goes back to last year and leading up to that, the losing streak that they had. Nobody pointed fingers. Offense didn't blame defense, vice versa, anything like that. I think that's a testament to his ability to win over the locker room and keep it pointing in the right direction. So those are two things. And then I give him a high grade for his participation.
Yeah.
Seen him multiple times with each and every position group. And giving them true nuggets that you could tell, resonated with them. I think that's key. And putting together a staff, having the willingness to take a step back. I'm a defensive coach, but I'm bringing an outstanding defensive coordinator in to run my defense so I could oversee everything else. I think that was a big-time move for him, and it showed confidence within himself. So I definitely feel he's an ascending coach.
I think he's emotional. I think you definitely see that he's a former player and played at a high level. And I know there are other former players that are head coaches in the league, but for some reason he pops at me, and he won 3 Super Bowls. He played for the Patriots. I think that's why that maybe we put him in more of a spotlight just because of – I mean, he scored – he caught touchdowns from Tom Brady. I mean, this guy did it all. You see a lot of that. You see that competitiveness. Sometimes I think it – has gotten him in trouble. I think it's forced him to make some decisions that, looking back on it, he probably would have done differently. But that's anybody. You're going to
exactly.
When you're in the heat of the moment, you don't have a lot of time to think about it, and so you're going to make those decisions. So I believe that you worded it best. He's an ascending head coach. What we talked about in the last segment, that the Titans, had they won, would have been the better team. They would have been that team. The fact that he put them in a position to go on the road and beat New England, to beat Baltimore, to be competitive with Kansas City. They didn't get blown out of the building.
Yeah.
To be competitive with Kansas City. That right there, he deserves a lot of credit and praise for being the head coach. So I like what I'm seeing. I think there are definitely some things that you want to see him clean up, and he will, and he's addressed that. I thought he was very honest in his evaluation of Taylor Lewan being out the first 4 games with the suspension.
Yeah.
And then coming back, and that he was
naive
in assuming he was just going to come right back in there. That's a lesson. That's something that you learn. And, you know, it's our job that we get on here and we'll, you know, we're in the heat of the moment and it's recency bias and we'll say, I can't believe that he did that or I can't believe that he thought that way. But the fact that you see him doing the same thing, and he's not going to always tell us that he's doing that, but you can tell with how he carries himself and how, you know, maybe how he answers certain questions, then how he conducts himself in the next game. You can tell that he's going through that evaluation process on his own.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. You always want to learn from your mistakes, right?
Yep.
And learn from losses. So you definitely see positive there. But my question to you is this. What's the expectation for next year? Like, what would it take for you to say, okay, this 2020 season yep. was a success, this 2020 season was a failure?
I know that they went to the AFC Championship game. So it's very easy to say, well, they got to go back. They got to go back to the AFC Championship game. Well, that's not how this always works, mm-hmm. that you're going to have circumstances that can help you along the way. The expectation for me is to win the division, is to win the AFC South. That should be next on the to-do list.
Host a playoff game.
Host a playoff game in Nashville. I would like to see them break the 10-win barrier, have double-digit wins in the regular season, and I believe they'll have to do that to win the division. So that's all-encompassing. I think that is a achievable goal. Mm-hmm. I think it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think after 4 straight years of 9-7 as an organization, you should expect that.
Yeah.
That you need to take that step.
Yeah.
They have taken steps since moving on from Mularkey and the fact that he's continued to have winning seasons. He has now won 2 playoff games and played in an AFC title game.
There's been an ascension.
There has been an ascension. So it now looks different than it did, you know, when we started this season. But I think if you're really, you know, being truthful, winning the division is the next step. Now, with that comes, you know, are you playing the next week in the wild card round or are you playing in the divisional round?
Right.
When are you playing that first playoff game? I think just winning the division needs to be the goal, but then you have to keep going. So I think this momentum for the organization is very good. I think that's why it's so important to sign guys like Tannehill and Henry to keep that momentum going, keep some continuity. But you also, there has to be a balance in you want to keep continuity and you really like your group, but you do know that there are some, you can upgrade at some positions.
Yeah.
So you got to get better.
Yeah.
And I thought Taylor Lewan was very honest about that, you know, he said right after the game that we're very close, but, you know, we'll get a couple of other guys in here, get some guys re-signed, you know, upgrade a couple pieces. And I think we'll be good to go. And that was a very good way of wording. We know there are some areas that we can upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are areas to upgrade, and they'll need to do that specifically pass rusher. You know,
sure.
That's something that has to happen. I like the division title as the expectation. And it's almost like what you're doing is setting ladder goals, right? Okay, first goal, win a division. Then from there, okay, host a game not in wild card weekend.
Yep.
And then from there, win that game. You know what I mean? So, yeah, those are good tiered goals that I think are a reasonable expectation.
They're achievable.
For this team. I think they're reasonable.
The way it's set up, this team next year should be better than this season. Now, I understand there's a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that are going to work themselves out. Tannehill and Henry, I truly believe, are going to work themselves out one way or another, that they will be on this team. Then you have to decide, okay, offensive line, that's an area. Do I stick with what I know or do I change it? And is that my choice? That's another thing. Is that my choice? Because Jai Cochran's going to have suitors, and he's going to test the market.
That's the one, man. I really wonder what he's going to – because you look at Lane Johnson's deal.
Yeah.
Like, I really wonder what Conklin – and he wasn't opposed to being shopped as a left tackle.
I know. I'm wondering if I started something because I'm the one that asked that question.
Yeah.
And I could see him kind of light up. I'm like, oh, no. Has he actually thought about this or did I just give him an idea?
Yeah, it's like you could hear the jackpot.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, hey, thank you. Thank you, young reporter. I appreciate that. That's a good call. But – I, in as much as I love Logan Ryan, I mean, I've gushed about him all year. The right tackle
decision
might be the bigger priority to keep, because I want to see, I haven't seen this offensive line look the same 2 years in a row, and I don't know how long. It's been a while.
And continuity is so important there.
Especially for the offensive line.
All right, well, let me ask you this. If you had to, I want to look it up. If you had to choose between Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler, what would you choose?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because
they play two different positions.
Correct.
You have the nickel with Logan Ryan, and then you have, an outside corner.
But that's what I'm saying. So which one would be less replaceable?
I'd probably lean towards Logan Ryan. Those guys are tough to come by. Because you're a different type player. Not just anybody can play nickel. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so you look at – oh, no, that's 2020. Well, so
– and what would the dead cap
that's
be?
What I'm saying. Yeah, so his cap hit next year is 13.3. The dead cap is 6, so you could save $7 million.
Yeah.
But do you pay him $7 million to go?
But then you have to look at, too – Are you walking away from Delaney? Are you walking away from Cam Wake? Are you walking, who are you walking away from that there's going to be some dead cap money? And that's all is going to add up. Now, if you do one or two of them, it doesn't hurt you that much.
Here's the thing. In all honesty, I think it is going to come down to one or the other.
Sure.
Because if you feel that Logan Ryan brings the same value that Malcolm Butler does, guess what you have to do? At the very least, give him a Malcolm Butler level contract. So it really will come down to, regardless of Walker, Lewis, Wake, any of them, it's going to come down to A or B, because I don't think they could afford to keep both.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And they overpaid. I mean, that's what happens.
But you have to do – at that point in time,
that's the price
that's
of doing
you
business.
You had to do in order to get him, And that helped the franchise turn the corner somewhat.
Yeah. So, look, we're going to have many, many weeks – to talk about this, but that's a good question that you bring up, because I lean Logan Ryan, but if I lean Logan Ryan, that means you're paying him probably $13 million at the very least. You're matching the contract to Malcolm Butler, and then can you hang on to both? Can you hang on to both this year and then walk away from Malcolm Butler after this season? I don't know, but it's going to be tough. If you're doing that, then I don't know if you're keeping Jack Conklin. There are a lot of dominoes that have to fall.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like it's a tough situation,
I don't envy John Robinson.
He's going to have to really, really tighten. Tighten up. He's going to really have to, get things in order, and his job, his ability to do his job, is really going to be tested.
We will Darren McFarland will rejoin the show when we come back. He's Teron Davenport of ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL with his breakdowns, his link to his articles on ESPN.com, and talking with TD, chasing TD Friday night 6 to 8. We'll have more coming here on ESPN 105 The Game.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
He's muted. All right, we're back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. There we go. Now you're good. Nobody can hear you.
Well, I'll do it again. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We'll head east. We'll go to Knoxville. We'll check in with Vince Farrar for our weekly on Mondays with him. He's with the Sports Animal. Tennessee had a big game at Allen Fieldhouse on Saturday against the Jayhawks. So we'll talk about all that and more with Vince coming up at High Noon. But right now,
you even better the second time around.
Think it was better the second time?
Yeah, it was.
Good.
Well, rehearsal worked then. It's time for you to jump in there and tell us what you know. 615-737-1025. That's also our text line. Unfortunately, to win what we're about to give away, you must call in and participate on the show. But it's very wide open. It's an open canvas. Just tell us what you know. That's all you have to do. 737-1025. What's at stake for TWIC? How about tickets to tonight's game? Predators and Leafs.
Yeah.
Sold out. It's going to be a fun, fun game. We'll have them at will call for you, but you have to call in and participate. 737-1025. So tickets on the line for tonight's game, Predators versus the Maple Leafs, and it'll be their last home game until Saturday when they host Vegas. So, Chase, you got one?
I do. This is what I know. Yesterday obviously sucked. I mean, it just did. It was a very sad day to get the news of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, the others on board the helicopter. It took the wind out of your sails. And I told somebody that, you know, there are different tragedies that you obviously experience in your life. I've had personal ones with, you know, family members, and you feel differently with each one. But I equated how I felt yesterday to when Dale Earnhardt died and when Steve McNair died. They were very similar, just you can't explain it. Like, there's just you don't really know how to put it into words. And so with all that said, I was, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan.
Yep.
And have been since I was about 10 years old. And wrestling has kind of been my escape from reality and my just I'll be in my little bubble and enjoy wrestling for a few hours. And they had WWE had the Royal Rumble last night, which is one of the big pay-per-views that they do to start the road to WrestleMania. And whether you like wrestling or you don't like wrestling or you have that thing that can be your escape, I needed it last night. And so it was, I got together with some friends and I just nerded out for a little bit, watched Edge make his return after 9 years from a neck injury. He came back, and so it was just – and Jerry the King Lawler retweeted me, so that was
wow.
That was pretty cool. And so after a day of just things not making sense and not feeling right, it was good to just step away and enjoy the Masters of the Ring circle for about 4 hours. So that's what I know.
Very good. Good stuff. Are you guys all asleep? I mean, is anybody – I know it's Monday, but my goodness, we're halfway through the day. Hello, let's get going. I'm just going to tell you, either you're going to bring it or we'll just save them and we'll just use them, let somebody else have them, but you're going to have to earn them. So I need you to get in there, 737.
I mean, Toronto stuff.
1025. What does TD know?
You know stuff?
I'm putting you on the spot.
What
TD,
do I know?
Yeah.
I don't want to get sentimental, so I'll say something else. I know
sentimental's okay.
Draft season is coming. And there are a lot of prospects that match what the Titans are going to be looking for. And with the combine coming up in a month, I know there are three prospects that need to be on your radar. Jordan Love, Utah State. Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma. And let's see.
I was going to say, I knew those two crushes. I'm not familiar with your third crush.
Kayla Von Chase on.
Oh, okay.
LSU.
Okay. Valentine's Day is just around the corner.
Do you think, and because we've talked about Jalen Hurts, do you think that as a true NFL quarterback, he's somebody to look at, or is he going to be, is he more of a Lamar type that you're going to run an offense like that, or how do you view him?
I think he fits right into what the Titans do on offense, frankly. He is a very good play-action quarterback.
Pull that mic up just a little bit.
He's a very good play-action quarterback. In addition to that, he's someone that, you know, can be relied upon to not lose the game but give you two or three big plays to keep you in the game. I think that he gives you a similar skill set to what Tannehill brings. When it's time to run, he will escape the pocket and make things happen. I think that he is an NFL quarterback, and I don't think it's right to say, you know, that the guy isn't.
Sure.
There are plenty of quarterbacks who have been less ready than him that have come in and found some degree of success. And I think in addition to that, you can't discredit intangibles, right? You can't discredit what he went through at Alabama, how he weathered that storm. You can't discredit how he went into Oklahoma and won over that locker room and became the unquestioned leaders of the guys, you know, in one offseason. So, yeah, he's a quarterback. He's a guy that you could put into a system and you don't have to reconstruct your offense around him. You could put him into your system and find success.
Very good. This is what I know. One, not sports related. I watched The Joker over the weekend.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix, what a performance by him.
Outstanding.
That was I had heard all the, you know, reviews and heard people talk about it when it was out at the theater. But got a chance to watch it over the weekend, and wow, that was something. Man, did he get into character or what? That was pretty impressive acting by him, or was it? I don't know. But it was a really good movie, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. What else I know is what I said when you joined us last Monday, coming back from – both of you were coming back from Kansas City. I will tell you that nothing has changed on my end. Nothing. This is what I know. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to win Super Bowl 54. The Chiefs are winning.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. They're going to win. I'll have to see them lose on Sunday to believe they're losing to the 49ers. The Chiefs are going to be your Super Bowl champs.
Does Andy Reid celebrate with a ham sandwich like Kojo?
My guess is, did you see the movie Bridesmaids?
He's going to eat a cheese.
Did you see the ham sandwich, the sub at the end?
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy had? That's how big that ham sandwich will be. It'll be a three-foot-long ham sandwich. The Chiefs are going to win. I'm just telling you. I'm thoroughly convinced of it. And I'll have to see them lose to believe it.
I believe it.
That's what I know.
I believe they will win.
You agree?
Yes, I do.
I agree.
You'll find out on Friday how much I agree.
Uh-oh.
With the Chiefs winning. When it comes to pick six,
I already gave a score because I'm not going to be here Friday, and a lot of people keep asking me what I think, and so
was the score?
34-27 Chiefs.
Okay. Great. All right, let's get your phone call. 737-1025. Predators, Leafs tickets on the line for the best to Wick. Mike has been waiting patiently. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, guys, this is what I know. There should be a whole lot of Pro Bowl players whose palms are just killing them today from all the touch football they done yesterday. That's what I know.
Mike, that was a pretty pathetic performance. Got to be honest.
Yes, it was.
It's not the first time we've seen that from the Pro Bowl, but.
And it won't be the last.
It really was touch football because the minute you touch somebody, they blew the whistle dead.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you want them to do? That's the thing. Like, what do you really want them to do? It's an exhibition game that means absolutely nothing.
In the past, they played it much harder. Cool.
Right. I mean, this is not the first time they've had a Pro Bowl.
Right. But do you want your star player and your team blowing his knee out because he's
– How many Pro Bowl injuries do you remember
exactly
in your lifetime? Give me the Pro Bowl injuries.
I mean, I don't have any, but it could happen.
I think maybe
right.
One.
It could happen to on anything. I mean, you could get – as we've seen, you can get hurt in practice. How did Chris Jones get hurt? Practice.
Yeah.
Wasn't in a game. It was in practice.
Yeah. I think it's unreasonable to excuse that degree of play yesterday. And that's why the game really isn't entertaining anymore. You know what I mean? Because it has, as the caller said, been watered down to basically two-hand touch football.
Yeah. Mike, they should move the Pro Bowl to Spain because there was a lot of olés going on yesterday. Let's go to Josh. Josh, what do you know?
That was bad.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
This is what I know. Now that Eric Berry has announced that he wants to come back to the NFL, Robinson needs to get on the phone and give him a call and bring him back to Tennessee.
All right, Josh, thank you. TD, what
You're
do you
welcome.
Think of that?
Next question.
Okay. Drew, that were you channeling Drew Rosenhaus with that?
Basically.
Next question.
No, listen, I love Eric Berry as a player. Respect the heck out of him as a man, but I don't think there's a place on this team. Well, where would he play? You already have two outstanding starters, and you have a budding reserve in Amani Hooker. I don't think the money that it would cost versus what the need that it would fill, I don't
How
think
How much
it
would
equates.
He cost? And is he still an everyday? I mean, isn't he – maybe he's shifted to more of a backup role, no?
If he's a backup, why sign him?
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
It'd be different if he could come in and play the nickel,
because
right?
he's from Tennessee. He played for the Vols, Teron.
He's a That's VFL. It.
Hey, Peyton Manning did too, man. Somebody call him up.
Let's go to Chad. Chad, what do you know?
Hey, I just from yesterday, just very honored with all the people that paid tribute to Kobe in all the games. Every sport was touched by his life. Yeah. And we saw that with Tiger Woods. We saw it with every NBA team yesterday. We saw it on a soccer field. It was just very moving that amount of people in every sports arena was touched by his life and his legacy.
Chad, well said. Thank you.
It was cool to see.
No doubt about it. Let's go to Cody. Cody, what do you know?
Hey, guys, this is what I know. In the world of social media and memes and GIFs, all these jokes about the death of Kobe Bryant is just pointless. Grow up. If any of my friends post that stuff, you will be deleted. That's
honestly,
I
haven't seen him, Cody, and I'm glad I haven't.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he's referencing. Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm
–
oh, I'm sure. No, I'm saying I believe it. I just haven't seen him, and I'm glad I haven't.
Yeah. It's
But with social
shameful.
Media, I know that pretty much you can expect anything and everything, and sometimes the worst. Chris, what do you know?
Hey, guys. This is what I know. Over the weekend, I had my man card revoked. A new girl I'm seeing, I wanted to watch The Mandalorian. She wanted to watch rom-coms, and I begrudgingly gave in and watched rom-coms, but you know what? I enjoyed it. And so I had to revoke my man card, and I got to work to get it back. So that's what I know.
All right, Chris.
Oh, that's some honesty.
It happens to all of us, man.
That's honesty right there. Hey, some rom-coms aren't bad. I'm just saying.
I love a Hugh Grant. I love a Hugh Grant movie. What can I say?
Hey. Look, you're not going to get anything out of me. I'm a sucker. I'll admit it. If that makes you know. If that makes people laugh.
I mean, one of your favorite movies is Bridesmaids. So.
No question. Well, that's not a rom-com. Not really.
There's a love story.
He's probably got the better Hugh Grant movies.
That's
where you'd put that. All right, Rob, last one. What do you know?
I know that the world lost a great individual yesterday, and I know it's been talked about ad nauseum, but I think he deserves to be spoken about. And I wasn't a basketball player growing up. I quit in seventh grade because I didn't ever grow. So could never compete in that sport. But I do know he transcended sports. Growing up as a big soccer player, seeing him reach out to the Lionel Messis, the Neymars, even from Neymar's tribute to him yesterday, holding up the 2-4, it just shows kind of the impact the guy had. And I've kind of sat here in disbelief, but like many the last day and a half, that this great human is gone. And I know that, you know, there's only few that go by one name, but as a kid growing up, I've always, when you do the fadeaway trash can shot, it's always Kobe.
Kobe.
And it'll always be Kobe. And, you know, I just know that we lost a great one yesterday, and it's just real tough to even not following basketball that much, growing up a Spurs fan, just remember all the tough battles he had with you know, the Twin Towers and Tim Duncan and David Robinson. And it's just, man, I'm just sick to my stomach, and, you know, prayers and thoughts go out to him and his family. So that's
Thank
what
you,
I
Rob. Yep, good stuff. You know, you're a big deal, like he said, when you go by one name. And when you say Kobe – yeah, people know Kobe Bryant, but
there aren't many.
You say Kobe,
you know.
Everybody knows. You don't need to say anything else.
Just like Tiger, you know, I mean, there are a few, but not many. And I would say to win this, what I know is there were probably a lot of people that picked up a basketball yesterday just to kind of have that connection.
Yep. That'll do it for hour number two. We'll come back. We'll head east to kick off the third hour. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.